Welcome everyone to episode 6 of Buzz IT Talk, the podcast where we talk buzzwords and the latest trends within the tech industry with the goal of helping businesses and decision makers go beyond the buzz. This is your host, David Weaver. I recently had a chat with Annie Harper, CEO of Equal Reality, which is a company she founded that focuses on social educational experiences through the use of virtual reality. We started the episode with the buzzer beater round as an icebreaker, during which Annie answered 5 tech-related either-or questions. And after that, we turned to the topic at hand, which of course was virtual reality. And Annie defined virtual reality and talked about how the technology differs from augmented reality. She also covered what kind of experiences Equal Reality offers and how businesses can benefit from the implementation of virtual reality. We also discussed why virtual reality is a great tool that can encourage empathy and learning. And per usual, we ended the interview with a look into what the future may hold for the virtual reality industry. So without further ado, here is my interview with Annie Harper. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the enormous topic of virtual reality. And I know that when I hear that term, the first thing that comes to mind are people with big glasses or goggles on, and they're flailing their arms and dancing around at stations and shopping malls, at industry events, and in other public forums. But with those personal thoughts aside, the hype is definitely growing, or more fitting for our show, the buzz is growing around virtual reality, and the technology is being developed and used for much more than gaming these days. And luckily, I have Annie Harper here with me today, and Annie is definitely a mover and a shaker within the VR space, and she will be providing us with some more in-depth insights into the topic. Annie studied
media. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks. You studied, well, I'm going to give a little intro of from what I can gathered from your LinkedIn profile, but we'll get into more details in a bit. But you studied media arts and animation, and you've since been built a significant amount of experience in the user interface and design space, working as a programmer and artist, and now with an intensified focus on social educational experiences. And most recently, Annie took the entrepreneur route in the VR space and founded a company called Equal Reality, something that we'll also be getting a bit more into later. So officially here, welcome to the show, Annie Harper. And thank you for taking the time. I'm sure you're busy, but thank you for taking the time to be here. In the last episode, I introduced the buzzer beater round, and it serves as an icebreaker and allows the audience to get to know my interview partners a bit better. In this buzzer beater round, I'm going to ask you a series of 5 either-or questions that need to be answered within 15 seconds. And the majority of the questions will, of course, be related to today's tech trends. Do you feel up to the challenge?
Yes.
Perfect. Then I'm going to start the clock here. I'll give you the signal, and then I'll ask my 5 questions. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. Netflix or book?
Oh. You know, I always go with book, but okay. I'm really fascinated with Netflix's new approach to storytelling lately.
Okay. Bitcoin or dollar?
I'm going to go with dollar because it's tried and tested, but Bitcoin is interesting.
Okay. We did not make the 15 seconds, but that doesn't matter. E-commerce or brick and mortar?
I don't have much of an opinion on that one.
All right. With one chance to time travel, future or past?
Oh. Dang. probably past.
Okay. Console, PC, or mobile gaming?
PC.
Okay. I found the answers to be very interesting. Book or Netflix? You said book, but Netflix is gaining interest. What would be a book that you read recently that kind of helped you?
Oh, man, I love sci-fi and fantasy. Okay. The Wheel of Time is probably one of my favorites. And there's just, I really enjoy how a lot of the fantasy genres layer a lot of deep philosophy and thought into a very engaging story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are you much of a gamer, or are you like playing them? I saw that you have some experience with programming games, but do you play them as well?
Yeah, I was obsessed with games my whole childhood. Okay. I haven't had as much time for it lately, but definitely got deep into Minecraft for a while there.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Thanks for playing along. Like I said, 15 seconds, whatever. We didn't do it. Still got some interesting answers. My initial introduction, as I said, was mostly based on from your LinkedIn profile, because we are also talking for the first time. So maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself and your professional journey up until this point.
Sure. You did a really good job of the introduction. Okay. So I had a very, very deep focus on computer animation, and I worked for a variety of different fields, which were mostly supporting the sciences. So doing graphic visualization of studies that were going on, be it medical or I worked with paleontologists for a while. And then I got a job doing training simulations for the military, so got into the game engine aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, got a job at Intel, where we were working on enabling depth cameras to understand people in a much more organic, human-like way. So it was there that I really got deep into programming and how humans interact with computers. And all those skills were just a perfect blend into VR.
Mm-hmm.
And about the end of the time that I wanted to be at Intel, I'd been thinking a lot about social applications and how you could use the starting a business to actually create some lasting impact that has meaning. So found my co-founders and we launched Equal Reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now you are currently serving as the CEO of the company you founded then with your co-founders, and that's definitely something I want to get into a bit later. But scaling back to our topic at hand, big question, and I'll probably have some, may have some sub questions, but what is virtual reality? How would you describe it?
So virtual reality is simply a virtual environment that is engaging one or more senses in order to make a person feel that they're in it. And we typically think of virtual reality as being the headsets that we see, mm-hmm. but I would even loosely define it as the original cave systems or an IMAX even, where you feel surrounded and inside of another world.
So then I heard about like roller coaster simulations as well. That would be then a typical virtual reality situation. You put on a set of glasses, you've got the wind coming at you from some source, and you're immersed in this roller coaster experience then.
Exactly. I would distinguish it as watching TV. The TV is separate. You're watching a flat screen, mm-hmm. and you're watching content through a window. Virtual reality makes it feel as though you're through that window and you're in that world.
Okay. And how does that work? I guess without getting totally technical, how does that work?
Well, the glasses simulate a stereoscopic vision. So that means that there's two screens, mm-hmm. and they're slightly off-put, just like our eyes are, and that creates a sense of depth. So that gives you a visual stimulation. And when you start adding in things like sound, and in the case of having touch controllers, you can have them buzz and create light haptic response, which is the feeling that you're touching something. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You don't actually need to be in real life to simulate real life. You just need enough cues to trick your mind.
Okay. So it's like a full submersion type of thing that you're kind of tricking your own mind then.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another term I hear often in the same breath of virtual reality is augmented reality. Can you tell me what the differences are to these two technologies?
Yeah, absolutely. Augmented reality is very cool. So in a virtual simulation, you're immersed within the environment. And in an augmented reality situation, you're still in the real world, but you are adding content into it. Mm-hmm. So one of the most common, one of the more common known AR applications was Pokemon Go. And that was looking through your camera. You would see a feed, a video feed, but then you would put Pokemon in the world and you tried to catch them. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing that is really easy to connect to it is Iron Man's vision and how that was really shown in the Iron Man movies. An interesting application of AR would be, say, if you were trying to fix your car and you were fairly new to it and you didn't know how to find your oil filter. If you had a library of that model of car loaded up, then you could look through a device, be it a headset or a phone or a tablet, and see a representation of your car, but with it really pointing out, okay, this is where the oil filter is, and here's some on-screen instructions for how you would take it, you know,
right,
change your oil filter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And would that be then, I guess that's what I heard a lot about back, I don't know, a few years ago, I guess it was with Google Glass then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I saw some practical examples.
That
in...
was like, mm-hmm. Google Glass is both it was a great concept video for how it would work.
Okay.
And the actuality of it didn't quite match up as well, but it gives you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the headsets that have done well since are obviously HoloLens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Magic Leap is putting a lot of time into that, but I haven't quite seen a product there yet, and also Meta.
Okay. So it's definitely come a bit further since Google Glass, but the concept is the same then. So then one of the biggest differences then would be that the virtual reality represents this full submersion into the new environment, whereas with augmented reality, you are still in your current real environment with...
That's exactly
enhanced.
It.
Enhanced.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to virtual reality, how would you describe the current state of the VR industry?
I would say it's definitely on the rise, and it's in a really interesting place. So when it first came out, a lot of money was being pumped into it, and there emerged this hype bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone got into it, and I think what we're seeing now is we're on the tail end of the hype bubble, but we're really starting to see companies that are having impact and are making profit starting to emerge out of that. So I would say that we're at the beginning of the practical applications,
mm-hmm,
of virtual reality.
Okay. What are then some of the coolest use cases you've seen in the past year or so? If we're starting to get into the practical applications, what are some interesting ones that you've come across?
I've seen two very major fields mm-hmm, that have really done well with virtual reality, and one is education and training, and the other is social.
Mm-hmm.
So of the education and training ones that really come to mind, some of the industry, the companies that have done really well were actually co-founded by one, you know, a person who knows VR and then someone who's not even a VR expert, but is an expert in their work-focused domain and could bring the knowledge of what that industry needed. And a really good example of that is Real Serious Games, which is founded by Karen Sanders, who was in the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought on a lot of, okay, any situation that might be complicated or dangerous or, you know, prohibitive in some way to train people on safety measures in the construction industry in person. Mm-hmm. Can we do this in VR? And she's done really well for herself. Her company's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of this is Striver, who is the combination of Jeremy Bailenson and Trent Edwards. And They had backgrounds in football coaching, and Jeremy ran the – oh, I'm sorry. It was, yeah, Derek Bleck and I also. So the two guys were football coaches, and Jeremy ran the human-computer interaction lab at Stanford and focused on VR. Mm-hmm. And they were doing the pre-visualization training for those for football mentoring. Mm-hmm. And then later went into pre-training for Walmart. So when people come in the first time, you don't want them to walk through the store and interrupt the customer experience. So you have them check out, do all their training for, oh, this looks wrong, this looks right in the stocking aisles, without interrupting daily life. Mm-hmm. So that was a little deep dive as a few examples of some really cool training applications, I think. And then on the social side of things, we're seeing, you know, Facebook bought Oculus and has been really invested in this. And we're starting to see Facebook Spaces come up, where I've seen a lot of people doing interviews, hanging out, and it introduces body language back into online conversation, which is actually really important aspect of communication.
Yeah.
We say a lot more than our words say.
That's true. So yeah.
I think VR is going to start to really create a higher synthesis of remote communication,
which could go a long way also for helping businesses with remote workers as well.
Oh man, my co-founder Rick, he gets so excited about that.
Yeah, it's I mean, you often hear about how remote workers start to feel disengaged and left out of the loop, and yeah, if they're in this virtual reality setting where these triggers then can also be shown in meetings, then that has a lot of value, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And companies spend a lot of money on flying salesmen in to interface with clients personally. Just huge amounts of money. So you could really see some really good money-saving business applications from that aspect as well.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into now Equal Reality.
Cool.
What is your company doing in the VR space?
So Equal Reality creates unconscious bias and inclusion training for corporations. And the purpose of that is that it's very difficult to understand the perspective of another person unless you've lived their lives. Mm-hmm. And I found that just speaking and even training slides are really lacking. It's hard to create a new thought, a new way of seeing the world without actually going through the experience of it. And there's been a lot of really good research indicating that if you can put people in a virtual simulated environment where they can see what the more subtle forms of exclusion or discrimination can look like, it can really help to open them up to being more conscious of behaviors when it's happening and choosing, making different choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what does then the process look like of using this VR product? I mean, what happens when I then put on the glasses?
Sure. So with our current clients, we're looking at e-training modules to start with. So you go over... Mm-hmm. You know, workplace policies, what is, you know, what is bias? And then you would book a session to do the VR training. So you would go in and you choose from a couple different backgrounds of people, and then you would go into, you'd stand in front of a mirror, and your reflection would look like this other person.
Okay.
So you'd get an internal monologue of sort of how you see yourself, what your situation you're about to go into is, what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would go into a training simulation where you'd be in conversation, and your goal is to pull the trigger and interact with the scene so that you're picking up where the cues of bias are, and you're recognizing what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, you go into a data visualization where you see the results of how many of the things you recognized and where you were looking at and some overall data viz stats. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, follow-up testing.
Okay.
So just making sure, did you understand these points, you know, oh. And that helps with the repetition of allowing that to sink in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What makes virtual reality then better in this case than the slides that you mentioned? What makes it so good for the topic of then empathy and learning?
So it's on the subject of behavioral learning. So you've got cognitive learning, where you mm-hmm. have to think through everything. And then you have rote body language. When you're getting into a practiced habit of something, going through the steps of that experience is really, really helpful. And I don't know if you've read a book called Mozart's Brain and the Fighter Pilot, but there was a really interesting study where the military was sending pilots out, and there was a really high crash rate mm-hmm. because there was not really a way to simulate those emergency situations at the time. So this was before virtual reality, before a lot of these training simulations were possible. So they went through the process of having the pilots imagine ahead of time what those situations were, and they started doing these imagination exercises. And they found that it greatly reduced the number of accidents.
Okay.
So what we're seeing with current trends of virtual reality is in going through a situation beforehand, it allows you to prep for it mentally so that when you're in that situation, you're more prepared. When your fight or flight kicks in, your body has something to go off rather than just panicking and blanking.
Right.
And sometimes in real-life situations of prejudice, I've seen this, you know, before myself, it happens, and, you know, someone could have interrupted it, but they were so shocked, they just mm-hmm. didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. So is that then also part of the training? Like, would that be one scenario as then in the role of an interrupter, or what are some of the roles that can be then played through in this case?
Yeah, so that is something that we are looking at a lot, is how do we interrupt mm-hmm. and also how can we recognize when it's happening mm-hmm. are the primary focuses.
Okay. And a big part of then virtual reality is collecting data to learn from it, correct?
Yes.
How does that work? What happens with this data?
So currently, the things that we're looking at are, who are you looking at more? Who are you, you know, standing closer to? Uh-huh. Did you pull the trigger and recognize when these things were happening? And I get really excited about the possibility of merging other things in, like branching storylines, like which decision-making did you choose? And can you get feedback of whether that was the best decision for de-escalation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely sounds like an interesting application and a lot further from the people I described in the beginning dancing around in shopping malls with funny goggles on. if you don't mind, I'd like to take just a small detour. I'm always impressed by people who are willing to put it all on the line and take the road of entrepreneurship, because it's a leap I don't envision myself taking. I certainly have a lot of respect for people that do that. So I'd like to talk a bit about your experience thus far in this role as an entrepreneur. Did you have a virtual reality experience before you made that decision? Or was it just kind of, I mean, how did you come to this decision? And what's your experience been like so far?
Well, I certainly didn't do a virtual reality experience in being
an entrepreneur,
but
right?
I had played with VR a lot.
Yeah.
No, you know, I always had it in my mind that I wanted to do impactful social shifting on that mm-hmm. level. And yeah. I just played with the best way to do it. And frankly, virtual reality was the best way that I could use all of the skill sets that I'd developed to do that. Some people can be sole founders, but the more complicated an idea is, the harder it gets. And I'm really grateful I found the team that I did and that we've been able to get into the programs we have because they, you know, I have a lot of strengths in the technical aspects, and my my co-founders have bring a lot of other strengths, and we create a really good focus team.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone?
Sorry,
no,
I'm not
go
sure
ahead.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Is there anyone that you look up to within the industry or seek advice from?
Well, Karen Sanders, as I mentioned before, runs Real Serious Games, and she has been absolutely excellent. And I really look up to her as a role model and a mentor in a lot of ways. The virtual reality startups that I think are the coolest are ones that are having a real impact on people's lives and ones that are tangible businesses. So really understanding the strength of this technology, and then also doing your due diligence and understanding what's the business case and what will the market pay for are essential. And although I've met Karen in person and she's doing all of that extremely well, any other founder who I see doing all those things, you know, I'm always really happy to talk to.
Okay. Coming back then here, I like to always close out these interviews with a look into the future. I know it's hard in the tech space to make predictions, but just as a first question, what does the future of VR look like, and what may be some future applications?
Well, as I said, my personal opinion is that the training and education and the social space are really taking off, and any application that connects people or goes through experiences, that's the power of virtual reality, is having an experience. So any application that takes advantage of that, I think is going to be well suited. And I know the industry jumped on games first, but games is a medium that you can literally have a lot of fun just at your computer. You don't necessarily need a headset. So although that was, of course, the first jump point, I think that's going to depreciate a bit. And the other applications, which are more psychology and practice-based, are probably going to take off a lot more.
Yeah, cool. Is there, as far as equal reality is concerned, where do you see then your company in a couple years? Are you targeting specific industries, or are you taking the technology in a specific direction? Where do you see that
a
couple years?
We've actually engaged in a ton of different industries. I'm always fascinated by seeing which different ones are coming out of the woodwork. So a lot of it has been corporate inclusion, but we've also talked to the military and investment funds, and you know, bias and discrimination is something that a lot of people struggle with. And an interesting core of where we put all our research and development is actually replicating humans at a very, very high level. Because when you're trying to have social interactions, say if you're doing like bus training, it's fine to have, you know, random avatars that aren't that well represented. It's just a, you know, it's a background thing. But when you're trying to do human social interactions, that's a really important point. So I get really excited at the idea of, can you actually long-term teach a higher competency with social skills, or reading body language, reading facial expressions? Because I think being able to listen and actively listen is a really important component of both breaking down bias and just social interaction and being able to get along in the world.
Okay. It's definitely an exciting field, and thank you for providing some insights into this growing and expanding market, and I wish you all the best for Equal Reality and your future endeavors in the VR space.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. That wraps up episode 6 of Buzz IT Talk. If you have any questions for Annie, feel free to comment on our episode page at buzzittalk.com or reach out on any of our social media platforms we have listed on the site. I've also included a link to Annie's LinkedIn profile, so if you would like to reach out and start a discussion, she is open to your connection request. You will also find a link to the Equal Reality homepage on our episode page, and again, that is at buzzittalk.com. If you are interested in sharing your insights on one of the many tech buzzwords, feel free to contact me at buzzittalk@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in.